If you're a smoker or vapor, ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Ooh! What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio. Let me ask y'all this. Are y'all getting enough water in your life? Are you getting enough water in your life? That's all. I'm just asking the question. Don't be running up on me. Why are you judging us? Why are you looking down on us? Not everybody has to drink water. I don't want to hear none of that bullshit y'all be on. Are you drinking enough water? That's all I want to know. Yay or nay? Are you getting in enough just pure water? I'm not talking coffee. I'm not talking sweet drinks. I'm not talking teas. I'm talking straight up water. Are you getting enough? Because if you're just having one 16-ounce bottle a day, that's not enough. Look at your piss. Just look at your piss. What's your piss looking like? That's a nice little gauge. What's your PP hidden for? What's your PP hidden for, man? I want y'all to drink more water. I want y'all to prioritize water. That should be of the utmost importance to you on a daily basis. No days off on the water. No days off. Now, I know not everybody's going to be drinking over 100, you know, ounces of water a day. But I just want to make sure that y'all are getting enough water, that you prioritize it, that you just drink it as is. And you're not out here trying to just, you know, have every other drink but water. All right. And coffee not counting. We're not counting no coffee. I know a lot of y'all be thinking water is the base for the coffee. Nah, man. We're not doing that, man. I want more water in your life. That's what I want for you, man. Rinse them organs out, man. Get them insides good. Okay? That's all it is to it, man. Simple as that. That's all I want for y'all, man. All right? Bad Bunny's doing the Super Bowl, man. Bad Bunny is doing the Super Bowl. It's going to be lit. And we all want it all Spanish. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be lit. It's going to be a good time, man. I don't know none of his songs, but you know what? I'm all in. I'm all in, man. Sign me up. Let's take it. I might even do my pregame on some Bad Bunny and just, you know, listen to him heavy up until the Super Bowl. Cause why not? Why not? I love it. I'm here for it. I'm all in. Sign me up. Let's get it. Let's get it cracking. Let's get it popping. For Puerto Rico. You feel me? All Spanish. Let's get it popping. I'm all for it. I hope y'all are doing well, man. Shout out to my patron saints. They are here live in the Chatsworth, if you will. It's kind of slim today. It's real slim up in the Chatsworth. But hey, you know what? I'm not even fighting it no more. I feel like I'm on my way out of doing verbal cardio. So the fluctuating numbers don't even hit the same. It's like, all right, it's whatever. Shout out to Aomi, GT, Crunchy Apple, Roberto, Trey Porter, Jamal B, AJ, Kalicia, Shift Gibb, Sherry Tucker, Crunchy Apple, Honey Ray, GT is who I am, Lala, Simone L, you feel me, Duchess, Funicello, 2 Jesse, what's up Jesse, Candy Cammy, Lucinda, you know what I'm saying? Mish. I appreciate y'all. Mark Martin. I appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for pulling up. QDB. The people in the IG, y'all just freeloading. So I'm going to just give you the freeload energy. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all not really tapped in. Y'all not fully in. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just on the outskirts, like, we kind of wanna, you know, get in on it, but we don't wanna fully commit. I get it. Yeah, verbal cardio I think is numbered, man. It's numbered. I'm not that passionate about it anymore, to be honest with you. So I'm just kind of pushing through. You know, what's up, Exhibit X to the Z, Exhibit? What you see is what you get is one of my favorite hip-hop videos of all time. The way they shot that was amazing. If you haven't seen Exhibit's video for What You See Is What You Get Now, pull up on that. It's a dope video. His Paparazzi song is what put me on the Exhibit. And I was like, yo, Paparazzi is fire. So I just want to give a shout out to X to the Z, Exhibit. Exhibit. Shout out to you, man. Go back to your movie. I might just do a movie podcast. Maybe if I just do a movie podcast, I'll get my passion back up. I think that could be what I'm missing. I'm just missing the movie element of it. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, in this episode, I want to talk about what we're passionate about. What are you passionate about in life? Like, what takes up the majority of your mental real estate in terms of what you're into? And a lot of people tease me about being on the spectrum, if you will, because how does Tony know numbers like that? How does he know what movie came out when and this, that, and the third? And they just want to throw the autism out there without having full knowledge of autism and stuff like that. But I look at it like, you know, when you're into something, it tends to stick out in your mind. I thought that was just normal interest. When you're into something, you think about it. It kind of sticks until you lose that passion. And so I didn't equate it to like, oh, Tone's on the spectrum. I'll just be like, why? Because we don't look at sports fans like that. You know, when people remember who won what Super Bowl win or who was on the roster when, you know, you like this particular team back in the 90s and you know everybody that was on the roster, nobody's like, man, you on the spectrum for remembering that. It's just regular interest and passion about stuff. Like, you know, when a director makes a film, you know, they obsess over the actors and the characters and the storyline and the shots they have to do. And like, you know what I'm saying? This is part of being interested in something. That's how I was taking it. And so for me, you know, my interest is, it's always been in like movies and like stuff like that. Cause I never looked at the teacher and be like, yo, how are you retaining this information, teacher? You know, how are you remembering these days? How are you remembering this about science and amoebas and, you know, bacteria? How are you remembering this, man? You're on the spectrum. That's where we're at now. Like, how do you know all this information about what you're teaching us off the top? You're on the spectrum. We just slinging it out there. And so for me, it's just, I'm just interested in something. And so it kind of sticks out in my mind. Like, you know, I remember that Wolverine is a mutant with a healing factor. He's from Canada. And he has an adamantium skeleton. I know that adamantium is one of the hardest substances on Earth in the Marvel Universe. I remember this from when I was a kid. Like, oh, his skeleton is unbreakable because he has the adamantium-laced skeleton. I remember this. I remember that, oh, the Hulk can lift over 100 tons. And like, you know, just from reading, just from retaining information, you know, Captain America is a super soldier that was souped up. And, you know, he can bench press 800 pounds. He's a super soldier. Now, you know, they fluctuate the strength and all that good stuff. But, you know, these are things that I was interested in. And so you retain it. And so for me, I was interested in movies. It started at a young age. You know, us going to the movie theater, watching movies, and I'm blown away. I'm thinking about the movie that I just saw, And I'm just like, yo, Back to the Future was incredible. You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of just remember, I want to go see it again. I want to see Ghostbusters again. You know, you just enjoying everything and it's sticking out in your brain. And so for me, how I can equate memory is, okay, if I know I saw Back to the Future at the movies, even as a young kid, and I know that movie came out in 1985, I can equate, okay, that was 1985. I was in this grade. We were living here. We were living on 36th Street. So now I can equate where I lived with the movies. The movies we were watching, you just remember where you lived when you saw those movies. If you see it at the movies, like I watched Gremlins, and when I got home, I was scared to go to sleep. I remember we were living on 36th Street. So now I can equate the movies with the time frame of where we were living at the time. And so, you know, when I watch Die Hard 2 or, you know, Ghost or something like that, I remember the apartment that we lived in. So it was like, all right, so we was on 75th and Calumet when Ghost was out, when Home Alone was out, when The Godfather 3 was out, I was on 75th and Calumet. You know, because you just equate the music, the movies, the TV shows with where you were living. Like, it's just an all-encompassing memory that I can tap into. And just be like, all right, so when Lisa Stansfield came out with Been Around the World, I remember buying that record for my mom, and I remember what apartment we lived in when I got the record. I remember getting Belle Biv DeVoe's Poison tape, and I remember looking at the tape in the kitchen on 75th and Calumet. I remember looking at the movie section when we lived on 75th in Indiana with my aunt, and I remember, you know, Rain Man was out. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I remember my aunt taking me to see Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and I was living with her at the time. So I just equate memory with, you know, the movies, the music, the stuff I was into, the friends, you know, so that helps me with memory and time. And I would hope that all of you can equate something with the time frame to help you better conceptualize, okay, what I was doing this particular year, where I was living, what was going on, you know, the time frame. A lot of us do that with music because music can take you to a certain time and place. A music can automatically just transport you like a time machine. Oh, when this song was out, man, I was 12. Man, we was at the party. We was dancing to this. You know what I'm saying? I do that same thing with movies. And so that's my interest. But the numbers and the actors is where y'all start losing y'all minds. Like, how are you retaining this? Because I'm paying attention, because I'm invested, because I'm into it. Oh, that was, Bruce Willis was in this, so now he's in that. And so I'm able to just take in the movie, remember things, because it's more than just a fleeting thing to just watch a movie and just forget about it later. But I try to do that. Speaking of that, let me remember to pay these bills real quick. You know what I'm saying? Pause that. So life doesn't happen bi-weekly, y'all. It doesn't. Life is not out here happening bi-weekly, so neither should payday, man. You know what I'm saying? The money you've earned should be in your hands today. And with Earn In, it can be. All right? Earn In is an app that lets you access your pay as you earn it up to $150 a day with a max of $750 between paydays. Just download the Earn In app and add your info. Then start accessing your pay as you work and leave an optional tip to help keep the app running for everyone. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Earn In is the app that's helping millions of Americans take charge of their pay and avoid falling into debt traps. It's your money, so put it in your hands with Earn In. Make Earn In part of your financial routine and join Earn In's over 4 million customers making any day payday, all right? So stuff always comes up, and when you in that little period of time where you got to wait till your next paycheck, stuff is going to come up. Your car is going to trip. Some bills going to come up. You got groceries to get. You got utilities to pay. It's a special night out. Taking family to dinner or an event, a last-minute gift for a loved one, an unexpected trip to the vet, rent, tickets that might sell out before payday, a new dress, school clothes, or shoes that are on sale. All of these things can come up, in that little time period. So you need that money ASAP. You know what I'm saying? So download EarnIn today, spell E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Verbal Cardio under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. That's Verbal Cardio under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service. Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details. Download EarnIn now and take control of your pay. Now back to my interests. And let me tell y'all how. So I got into movies at a very young age, right? My mom, my parents in general, always took us to the movies. So that created the interest in movies, right? And so I'm like, yo, I love this. I love the way the movies made me feel. And like, you know, I just thought about them all the time. I would look at the movie section in the Chicago Sun-Times and the Chicago Tribune. And they just had an effect on me. Like, you know, it would sit with me. It would last. Like, I would watch a movie and it would stick with me. Sometimes movies would stick with me too long. Like, a movie that scared me would just fuck my whole shit up. You know what I'm saying? But a real good one, it just stuck with me. And so I got into movies at a young age. And that was, like, my first passion. I was into TV as well, but it was something about movies. So then as time goes on, I'm looking at movies. I'm looking at the movie section. I'm looking at the critical reviews. I'm seeing how long movies are staying in theaters. I'm just like, okay. So with me looking at the movie section and seeing, because, you know, in the movie section, they always put the critical reviews in there to get people to come to see the movie. Like, this gets 4 stars from Roger Ebert. You know, Siskel and Ebert give it 2 thumbs up. It's the best movie of the year. They do this, so it's all marketing to get you to come see the movie. Because at the end of the day, it's all about that box office. It's all about how much money the movies were making. Initially, I thought movies stayed in movie theaters longer if the critics liked it. I didn't know it was about the money that it was making. Because I couldn't understand, like, how a movie that got, like, 1 star from critics or maybe 2 stars was still staying in theaters mad long. I was like, yo, if this movie only got 2 stars, why is it still in movie theaters like this? Like, why is it still, you know, because I would see some movies come and go real quick, but then others would, like, stick around. I'm just like, yo, how are the movies with bad reviews sticking around? I didn't know it was about the money, okay? Then once I started seeing, like, TV shows like Entertainment Tonight and The Big Picture on MTV, and they would give you, oh, these are the top 5 movies of the week. And I'm like, top 5? What do you mean? And like, oh. So now they would start talking about the movie gross. So now they were saying, this movie made this much money. This movie is the highest grossing movie of all time. So now I'm learning about, oh, how much money these movies are making at the box office. So now I'm super interested because I'm already interested in movies. So now I'm just like, yo, how can I find out how much money these movies are making? Because it wasn't readily available like it is now. So I had to watch those shows. I had to watch Entertainment Tonight when they gave me the top 5 of The Big Picture. But I wasn't getting a detailed list of how much money the movies were making. So then the Chicago Tribune started putting the top 10 movies in the paper. But they would only do it by city. It wasn't by nationwide. It was just like, all right, these are the top 10 movies in Chicago. So I was like, all right, Die Hard 2 made $1 million in Chicago alone. So I'm just like, oh, snap. You know what I'm saying? And so now I'm getting a sense of, this is how much money movies are making on a small scale. Then they started putting in the top 10 movies nationwide. So I'm like, oh, so now I'm getting a sense of, okay, it's a money game out here. It's not just about critical acclaim, because there's a lot of critically acclaimed movies that weren't making no money. You know what I'm saying? 4 stars from such and such, but that shit made $2 million. You know what I mean? And so now with these lists in the paper, I'm just like, oh, okay, they making the money. So since I'm passionate about movies, I'm also passionate about, all right, how much money is this movie making? What's the gross? So now I'm super interested in that. And so now I'm retaining this information because I'm so passionate about it. Like, you know, in class, we going over math. I could give two shits about the math in class. I can be like, man, I don't care about this division. Fractions, man, get the fuck out of here, man. Fractions, numerator, denominator, parentheses. I don't care about this shit. I forget it as soon as I leave the classroom. I forget the whole formula. And then I'm like, man, I don't like math. I don't like numbers, man. If it ain't addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, I don't want to see the numbers, man. Get these numbers up out of here, man. But then cut to, oh, now I'm passionate about the numbers. This movie made $15 million opening weekend. This movie made $7 million. This movie fell 49% from the previous weekend. Now I'm getting into percentages. I'm getting into the numbers. I'm getting into the totality of the numbers. How much the movies were making per screen. So now I'm just like super into the numbers. And then that bleeds off into like music sales. And like, you know, now that they were given the music sales of music artists, like, yeah, Doggy Style sold 806,000 copies this first week. I'm just like, oh, shit. So now I'm absorbing album sales now. And I'm just like, oh, now I'm into TV ratings. How many people are watching certain TV shows? The number one show on TV right now this week is Seinfeld with 30 million viewers a week. Friends is getting 24 million viewers a week. So now I'm just like, I'm absorbing all of this. And it's math. So since I'm interested in it, I'm passionate about it, it's just something that I always check on and read about, that I look at. So to this day, I still look at the box office for the week. I look at what made what and how much. Every week I check. Every Sunday, I look at how much money the movies made over the weekend. Like right now, the number one movie is One Battle After Another. It made $22 million this weekend. And so that's the number one movie. But the budget is $130 million. So now I know that, all right, if the budget is $130 million, this movie is going to have long legs for it to be profitable, right? And so if you're just making $22 million opening weekend, that's not a good start for a movie that costs $130 million to make. It needs that word of mouth. It needs those legs. Now, when I say legs, that means a movie with legs means that people keep going to see it week after week, and the drop-offs are low, right? So a movie with good legs, for example, this year would be Sinners. Sinners had great legs because the drop-offs were low weekend to weekend. And so it was able to, even though it opened with like 40-something million, it was able to multiply that opening weekend several times over to its total gross, right? So One Battle After Another is going to have that good word of mouth for people to go keep seeing it week after week for it to at least reach $130 million. Now, that $130 million budget is just the budget for producing the film. That's not counting the marketing and promotion. So that's why they say a movie has to make 2.5 times its budget before it's profitable. So with this movie, One Battle After Another, even though the critics love it and the people that have watched it seem to really like it, that second weekend is going to tell you everything you need to know. If it has a 30, 40% drop off, 40 and up, it's not going to make it to 130 million domestically. So, but with Leonardo's worldwide appeal, it could do well overseas. But it's a very American movie, though. So we'll see how that goes. But that's what it is. A lot of people are saying this is the best movie of the year. I still feel like Sinners is the best movie of the year. At this point in September, Sinners is probably just going to continue to be the best movie of the year. It's one of the best movies I've seen in the past several years. So, you know, there's that. So That explains to you why I retain the information I retain, because I'm genuinely interested in it. And so when I'm interested in stuff, it tends to stick around a little bit. And that should be natural for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're really into something, it's going to stick around in your brain. I would hope, you know what I'm saying? Unless you got bad memory problems. But like, I feel like, you know, when you're really passionate about something, you just know it off the top. That's why people nerd out. Because when you talk to them about something that they're interested in, they nerd out. They know the terms. They know the phrases. They know. And for me, it happens to just be movies and, like, you know, music and TV to a lesser degree. But I still be knowing that. So that's just me. But I asked my patron saints. I was like, yo, what are y'all passionate about? Because I wanted to know what people were passionate about out here. And Mishi was like, empowering Black folks, singing and creative thinking and expression. That's what she's passionate about. So empowering Black folks, singing and creative thinking and expression. Dream Poet says, my passion is travel. Solo trips are my thing. I love exploring a new place, eating at local spots, staying in Airbnb outside of the touristy areas, talking with locals to see what they enjoy doing. I've learned so much and met people from my travels that I never would have in a group. If I could do a travel show, I would. And I still haven't gone everywhere I want to. But when my budget allows, I'm buying a ticket. So travel is a passion. And a part of me has a passion for travel. What happened with me, I just got overloaded on flying to where it was just like, I don't want to go anywhere. And so, but I really love, like Dream Poet said, I love going off the grid when I travel. Like, I don't like doing the touristy shit. I like to be where the salt of the earth, where these places are. I like to be in that environment that you're not going to see on the brochure. You know what I mean? Like, that's the vibe I like. You know what I mean? I know it's tough. Like, if you go somewhere and you don't know anybody like that, it can be dangerous. But I prefer the off-the-grid spots when I travel. You know, that's why I really love walking when I go somewhere, because I just end up in random places and random adventures, seeing random things when I just walk aimlessly. You know what I mean? Analog Future says, movies are the passion. Dramas, crimes, action, some comedies, music, hip-hop, R&B, and alternative, oldies, funk, gospel, folk, classical, electronica, and indie, art museums, exhibits, galas, education, lectures, dialogue, reading, tutorials, debates. But most of all, I'm into my relationship with Christ and his mission for mankind. Those are the passions. I've been finding something out on the biblical tip lately, because, you know, we've been talking Christianity lately, given the Charlie Kirk tragedy and stuff like that. And, you know, Christianity has come up. And I made a statement on Instagram talking about, I don't like how people that carry prejudice, bigotry, racism, and they use Christianity as a blanket for their bullshit. And that goes for bigotry, that goes for prejudice, that goes for homophobia, that goes for misogyny, that goes for all that stuff. And they use Christianity as a blanket to hide their bullshit on the other side. You know what I'm saying? And some people took offense saying that I was talking about Christianity. No, I was talking about the people that use Christianity as a blanket for their bullshit. And what I've learned is that even within the Bible, there are human hands and thoughts and biases within the Bible. Not what Jesus is saying, because, you know, everything that Jesus actually said is in the red in the Bible. The stuff he was like, yo, this, it's in the red. So a lot of the other talking points are from other human beings. You know what I mean? Like Saul, for example. Saul was out here on some bullshit when it came to Christianity. He was a bounty hunter. He was witnessing people getting stoned to death. He was one of those cats you didn't want to see coming if you were a Christian. He was like, "Now I'm coming to shut the party down. We taking lives. We shutting this bullshit down." Excuse my language within talking about the Bible, but that's what he was on. The Pharisees, man, he was out here on that bullshit, on that type of time. And so then, you know, Jesus spoke to him in the light. He lost his vision for a few days. And then, you know what I'm saying? He was like, "Oh, yeah," he changed his name to Paul and stuff like that. But within that, when he did get on board with the Christianity, he still had those values that he had before he made the switch. So a lot of the stuff that he was writing about in the Bible, the stuff that he was putting in there, how do we know it wasn't a bias that he already held about women, about homosexuality? This is his voice, not Jesus. This is what he feeling. So it's like, and people hold on to this day. They hold on to what Paul was talking about more so than Jesus. Because they think everything in the Bible is all what Jesus said. Nah, man, it's all kind of fluff and filler from people with agendas in the Bible. People with agendas and how they want to see life lived are in the Bible. Getting their words in, editing stuff out, changing up the lyrics, switching it up. And then people going to gravitate towards what they already have a bias towards now and just highlight that. Look at what it said right here. Cherry picking. They cherry pick the hell out of the Bible all the time. Whatever they not feeling, whatever their personal bias is, they find a little something in the Bible to back them up. And then here they go. They running with it. Well, Jesus said it. Did Jesus really say that? Exactly. You sure it was Jesus? Or was it somebody trying to speak on Jesus' behalf or God's behalf, trying to do their own little edit up in there? So that's why, like, you know, I have a squinty eye towards religion, man. It's too many cooks in the kitchen. It's too many motives. I'm squinty eyed, man. Squinty eyed. You feel me? So, yeah, that's why I'm just like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But I do believe in God. God, all day. All praise is due to God. But religion? Squinty eyes. Tony, I hope I said it right. I have a passion for the arts and community and the community it brings. There's so much love in a healthy creative space to express yourself, grow, and learn from other perspectives. I really feel like art is so important to the unification of human beings, right? Whether it be actual artwork that you draw, whether it be music, whether it be theater, writing, fictional writing, movies, music, dance, the arts, man. I feel like they allow people to express themselves. They allow certain aspects of them to be free and to be accepted and to be taken in. And, you know, people gravitate towards the arts. And, like, you know, it brings people together. It brings people from all walks of life together on one thing. And it's just like, yo, I love that too. And so now you build a sense of community of bond, of like, you know, man, this music really touches me. And like you can share those experiences with one another through the art. And like, yeah, this album came out at a time in my life, and it's just like, you know what, I was going through something similar around that same time, and like I was listening to that as well. And so I feel like art is tremendous in that regard. It can break through some of the barriers and things that we have up between us as human beings. It can break through that and bring us all together. You know, you can find yourself standing next to somebody from Scandinavia, and y'all are both a fan of this particular musician. So now y'all are coming together in a common bond of just like, yo, we enjoy this type of music. We enjoy this artist. And like, now you have that. Like, you know, it was going on back in the day with like, you know, back when America was big segregated, but it was like, you know, whites and blacks watching Chuck Berry taking it in, regardless of the bullshit that was going on in society. They were just like, nah, man, we here for the music. You know, the music is bringing us together, even though we would never be together because you black, I'm white, we just separate, but we coming together for the music. It just transcended the color barrier. And they, you know, they were just taking it in. And so I feel like art is a very powerful tool in like bringing people together. And like, I feel like that's a great passion because it just brings a beautiful sense of community and like-mindedness and mutual enjoyment within that space. So, you know, I'm glad art is around. I'm glad it's here. It just cuts through the bullshit a lot of the times. And speaking of cutting through the bullshit, let me cut off this IG live because I forgot it was still on, man. Y'all got 35 minutes of this verbal cardio. Listen, if you don't want to get cut off on the verbal cardio, man, join my Patreon. Join it right now. Click the link in my bio. Join the paid Patreon to get in on this, man. Get in on my movie nights when I bring them back, man, because those are a real good time. And those will be coming back real soon. So I'm going to cut the IG live off. Because y'all got more than enough. I should have been cut this off. I apologize to my patron saints. But we cutting it off. But if you want to continue this, just join my Patreon. Click the link in my bio. Click that Patreon tab and join up today, man. Stop playing. Stop playing. All right. Got that. Got that guan. Okay. Summer Squash says, nothing makes me emote viscerally like music and when I sing. And for just a few minutes, I disappear and go somewhere beyond this earth, a timeless space where time is lost. I imagine that might be the closest to heaven I'll get down here on earth. Listen, I've had moments to where music really takes me somewhere. And it's a beautiful thing. Like when you really feel the music and you tap all the way in, it takes you somewhere real special, man. Like, and that's how those memories are created. Like when you first hear, like, I remember the first time I heard, for example, No Ordinary Love by Sade, right? I saw the video and I was just like, yo, this is fire. But when it really transported me to another dimension is when I heard it in my brother's car. And I was just like, this shit is amazing. It took me somewhere. Like I transported to another dimension. I was just like, man, music, it gets no better than this. Like I was just completely in a trance of just like, man, this is just... this is everything. And you know, when music hits you like that, man, that's a beautiful, it's a beautiful thing. It's just like, man, how is music doing this to us on a mental level? Like how are you transporting us to another dimension just by putting some sounds and melodies and lyrics together and just making this complete package to where we just like, we out of here. And now those moments are attached to our soul and like attached to memories and time frames. And now we're just like, yo, that was a moment. And then we can go back to it every time we listen to a particular song. That's amazing, man. I love it. One True Shot says, I am a professional photographer for the past 15 years. That's my true passion right now outside of my household. One of the things I would love to do is give back more to people in need, homeless shelters, kids from broken homes, etc. I want to be able to make enough money to be able to give to the less fortunate and not miss the money in my household, if that makes any sense. That makes all the sense in the world. You want to be able to give and to give, you know, you still want to be able to live, of course, but
Ooh, excuse me.
You want to be able to live, but you also want to give back and make an impact on others' lives. Perfectly understandable. And I love that you have the passion for photography. Photography is beautiful. It's a wonderful thing, man. Like capturing a picture, an image that can create so many thoughts and like my Tony Baker randomly page is just me taking pictures of what I see. And like, I really like posting on that page because it's not me talking about stuff. It's not me trying to be funny. It's just capturing what I see and just jazzing it up on an artistic level, just giving you pure visuals to make you think like, what was that day like? What did that city look like? You know what I'm saying? What was the weather like? What was the visual like? Where does it take you when you look at it? Photography is very dope. What's going on in the picture? Like when you look at old pictures of like people from back in the day, I was showing a friend of mine old pictures of my family, right? And just like, I'm talking like back in the day, I'm talking the 40s and 50s, right? And just looking at them, it's a time capsule. It's my grandfather, my great-grandfather in the picture, and you're just seeing how they dressed back in the day, and like you're wondering, I'm wondering about the smells and the sights and like what did that look like in real color and like real time and real life and how were they talking? What was the energy like? And, you know, it created so many different like questions and wonders of like, what was it like getting ready to go to this event and like who's still alive and where are their children? And like just from a picture, just from a still image, it created this whole thought process of just like, what was it like back then? What were they talking about? What did it smell like? What did she smell like? What did he smell like? You know what I'm saying? What were the topics of conversation? What was their life like? How long after this picture did they live on? What are their kids doing? What are their kids' kids doing? It just creates this portal of just like thought that can just keep going just from a picture. And so I feel like photography is very powerful, even though, we might take it for granted now because we all got cameras on our phone and we can just snap a pic anytime we want. But it's still something to be said about like a picture. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. There's something to that, like a picture. Wow. You know what I mean? And it's crazy, like when you think about like time and like chapters in our lives. A picture can be a chapter. And when you think about relationships, for example, you're in a relationship right now, you with somebody right now that you've been like, yo, this is my person right here. This is my forever. This is my, you know. But then fast forward later on down the line, y'all break up. You're done. You broke up, you split, you divorced. Y'all was together for years. In the moment, you was like, yo, this is it. But then it wasn't it. And then you find yourself looking at that person differently. Y'all are in a different space now. But at one point in time, that person was your world. That person was your companion. That person was everything to you. And now it's just like, nah, you know what I'm saying? That was just a chapter. It's funny how the human experience is like that, where some people can't let go of a past meaningful relationship like that. But a lot of us have. We got exes. We got a string of exes. And you're just like, yeah, I was caught up in you for a long time. But now it's just like, eh. It's crazy how we go from, oh, I love you so much to, eh. That's crazy how that happens. That's why I always move with a grain of salt when it comes to relationships and stuff like that. I'll be like, yeah, you feeling it now. You saying it now. But later on down the line, I could just easily be an eh. You know what I'm saying? I could easily turn into a, eh. You know what I'm saying? And that's crazy how that is, you know? But then when you look at pictures of you and that person in the past, you'd be like, yo, that was the chapter. That was the chapter. And then you go to that chapter, you look at the chapter real quick, and then you go back to your current chapter and just be like, but that's just the nature of life, I guess, and experiences and relationships is that You know, oftentimes some people do find that person. That was just their person for life, and they never get into that phase. But man, based on my experiences, what I've seen and what I've, you know, witnessed and observed and going through myself, it's just like at any moment, man, somebody can just be tough. Tammy Ann says, I'm passionate about entertainment like music, dancing, the artwork of things. I love comedy, need laughter daily, singing, writing music and poetry, changing songs to gospel. I love that I am an author and ambassador interested in promoting brands and people along with my poetry book and other business endeavors. Oh, love to cook too. Cooking, that's a passion I can get behind. If you got a passion for cooking, man, let me pull up. Let me pull up if you got a passion for cooking. T. Yumiki Lee, I hope I said that right. I'm into fountain pens, inks, and FP-friendly papers, leather planners, paper crafts, bicycling, videos, ADHD, mental behavioral health wellness practices, black adapted trauma evidence-based therapies for adults and children from other countries. These are fantastic interests, man. And I love that you're into fountain pens, inks, and FP, fountain pen friendly papers, leather planners, paper crafts. That's amazing. Like, that's stuff you don't hear about every day. Like, I picture you writing, you know, like when they show like Thomas Jefferson or George Washington and they write with a feather pen, and it's just like, and you see the extra dope cursive being written as they dip the feather pen in the ink container, and then they just take it straight to the paper. I always thought that was so dope to look at and like, yo, this looks amazing. And they just, that's how they did it back in the day. You know what I'm saying? They were just doing that boom, pow, and just like, wow. So the fact that you're into that is amazing. I think that's dope. And I see the appeal. You know what I mean? Joshua Kador says, I have a passion for poetry and creative writing. Been doing it since I was in my senior year of high school, inspired by Tupac with his poetic deep writing style. I've written tons of songs and recorded very few on my phone and released them on music community apps. I'm heavily inspired by 80s, 90s rap, along with current lyrical prowesses like Kendrick, Cole, J.I.D., and No Name. Oh, man, that's great. That's fantastic. And you got good taste. You know what I'm saying? Kendrick, Cole, Jid, No Name, 80s, 90s rap, man. That's right up my alley, if you will. And I think that's dope, man. Keep that up. Daryl, The Long Way, 29. I have a passion for writing, and my mind fills up with many pages within itself. My problem is that I'm also a chronic procrastinator, so pen never hits paper. Shaking my head. I have probably 3 whole movie scripts and a book written in my head, though. That's not even an exaggeration either, unfortunately. I am definitely passionate about it, though, regardless if I have written proof or not. I do also live vicariously through my children, so I'm big into seeing them win. Despite not fulfilling that writing passion, seeing all 3 of them have success in their respective areas satisfies me. I'm into that, Tony Baker voice. That's dope as hell. And the fact that you're a procrastinator, so am I. So I feel you 1,000%. We out here procrastinating and stuff like that. But I believe you when you say you got a full script in your head. I got so much stuff in my head. So much stuff in my head, man. But it's like putting pen to paper, the thought of writing a script bores the shit out of me, man. And it sucks because I am an actor. I'm a creative. But me thinking about writing a script, I'll be like, man, get your boy up out of here. Interior day. Such and such walks into the cafe. And I'm just like, oh, I'm out. The thought of that whole process, I'm just like, ugh, the writing of it all. But the ideas are here. But it's like, so I feel you. Latoya Larkin, I have a passion for reading. Nothing I love more than reading a good book. Fiction is preferred, and mystery is my favorite genre. See, that's my mom all day. My mom has always been a reader of books. So when I grew up, we had those mystery books in the house. My oldest brother liked Stephen King, so we had Stephen King books in there, comic books. And my mom still loves mysteries. That's her thing, right? Agatha Christie, Hercule Poirot, all that Agatha Christie stuff. She used to watch Mystery on PBS. Remember Mystery used to come on PBS on Sunday night. And I remember the intro and everything. And that would be her thing. Like, she loves watching some good old British murder mystery stuff. Any type of murder mysteries, she all in. She's seen every episode of Murder, She Wrote. So all of that stuff is right up her alley, man. I got into, like, murder mysteries a little bit when I started getting into Walter Mosley's Easy Rawlins character. And when I saw Devil in the Blue Dress, that's based on the Walter Mosley novel. I was like, yo, I want more of this. I love that movie so much. That's one of my favorite Denzel movies. And so the thought of a black kind of private eye that kind of fell backwards into it, navigating his way through a segregated, racially charged Los Angeles. And, you know, him getting into several different adventures throughout that, I was like, yo, let me get these books. I think I got Little Yellow Dog and Big Bad Brawley Brown. I think those are the two books I had. I still have to finish those, but those books, those novels, I was all in. I was like, yo, these are dope. So I feel you on those, man. And I grew up around, you know, the murder mystery stuff. To this day, my mom still... it's still Murder Mystery McGee. Like, when I go visit her, she got the murder mysteries on deck. They right there trying to solve a murder every time. Simone L. says, I'm really interested in traveling abroad. I would love to do it more often, but financially it's a lot. I work a 9-to-5, but would love to have a job where I could work remote anywhere in the world so that I could travel. I also love to travel the world and ride every roller coaster. Now, my passion is my Etsy shop that I have. The problem is, for the past 2 years, I've been losing interest in making T-shirts. I feel like my artistic side is slipping away. I did decide a few days ago that to help get artistically motivated, that I would find some hands-on artsy things to do in New Jersey and New York, like a pottery class, sewing class, etc., to help bring that motivation back. You got to keep that side alive, whatever it takes, whether it be a class, whatever you can get into to keep that side alive and brewing and going, get in on it, because you never want that artistic side to slip away, because then life gets dry at that point, and you don't want life to get dry. So I recommend, if you can squeeze, I know you got the 9-to-5, but if you can squeeze in those classes, it's something about classes that really rejuvenate, you know, your thought processes and your motivation and your creativity, you know, whatever it may be. Like, taking a class with other people, like-minded people, and like people that are interested in what you're interested in, and like, you know, whatever the instructor is doing, those can really, you know, juice it up for you in terms of just like that motivation and that creative spark and that stuff like that, man. Like, so I definitely recommend just taking a little pottery joint, you know what I'm saying? Just get the juices flowing again, you feel me? Roberto, Texas says, this feels hard-hitting. Props to you, Tony. I only say that because my answer is creating music, but it's been well over 10 years since I've performed in concert or even jammed with other musicians. I always keep composition notebooks with ideas, seeds, and nuggets of inspiration, but putting them into actual music has been a challenge for a while now. Other interests include cooking recipes from scratch, watching films people say are good, and if I see they truly are, pro wrestling and philosophy. Yo, I've been there in terms of like when you get into a rut creatively to where, you know your passion is there, but you feel like you're just not motivated to really dig in and create for real, for real. Like that's how I've been feeling towards my content on social media. Like if y'all have noticed, I haven't really been posting a ton of stuff lately, and I'm not motivated right now. Like, you know, I cut back on the voiceovers, obviously, because, you know, Instagram was getting on my nerves. That's the main piece of why I don't do it as much anymore. But just like the motivation has been waning. And even though I know y'all love it and I know it does numbers and I know a lot of y'all found me from that. It's the motivation is not there. You know what I'm saying? Like I still create comedically and I'm gonna still do what I'm gonna do, but I'm just in a space where it's just like my output is nowhere near what it used to be. I just want to chill, you know what I mean, and just live. And so my creative output has definitely been a lot less than it has been for the past several years. So I get you on that. Like I feel you on that. But sometimes I get into a space where it's just like, yo, I'm feeling creative today. So, you know, hopefully you get that juice back to where you start, you know, really creating more music and jamming out and all that good stuff. And I'm glad you got other interests as well outside of the music. Miranda Cummings is like, I'm passionate about the way I show my support. My friends call me the general because I'm great at getting people organized during crisis. And that's a skill set. You need people like that in your circle. When stuff has to be planned out, when somebody has to take the reins and kind of get everything organized, you need people like that in your life. That's a skill set that's very valuable when shit hits the fan. Even when shit don't hit the fan and it's just like a regular plan of something, those are the people that you want close. You know what I'm saying? So, because if you got a whole bunch of non-planning ass people getting together, ain't nothing going to happen. That trip ain't going to happen. That little concert ain't going, that group concert, that ain't going to happen because people just be like, they just fall by the wayside. Rye the Poet. Awesome. Looking forward to the episodes. I'm passionate about poetry, photography, seeing our community do better for one another, spreading more peace and love, less hate, reforming deformity, and helping people understand everyone is different, and for individuals to learn how to live life embracing your difference / superpower and inspiring others with it. That's what's up, man. I love it. Ikua Hagman says, planning an event, curating an environment, and seeing my people happy and at ease in that environment. That's a skill set that's vital as well. Like planning that event and just creating an environment and a vibe, that's super important. Tanisha Turner says, ironically, I had this conversation today at work with a coworker. Sadly, I couldn't think of a passion. I've found it many loves, talents, and hobbies I can do. A lot of them I'm superb at, but am I passionate about any of them? No. And that happens too. You know, you might feel like I'm not passionate about anything. And I feel like a lot of people feel that way, where they just feel like, you know, I like stuff. It's cool. But what am I passionate about? And you'd be surprised like how many people feel that way too. Like, I don't know what I'm passionate about. You know, I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm just going through life. And that's not to say that the passion won't arise. That's not to say that you won't ever get passionate about something. But I do feel like, you know, that's a common thing for people. Like, you know, I'm not really passionate about anything. And I always want people to get passionate about something. Like I pray for that for people. And like, you know, I hope that happens for people because, you know, the passion is just, it could be a great feeling. Sometimes it could be overwhelming. Sometimes it could take up too much real estate in your mind. But oftentimes, though, that passion, man, is great. Like it just moves you. It keeps you moving forward, and it gives you something to look forward to. It gives you something to think about, to occupy your mind. And I hope, you know, passion creeps up on you and you get passionate about something. Even someone, even if you meet somebody that stirs up a passion within you, and maybe that passion for that person can bleed off into other areas, and then you find other passions because of that person. That could happen as well. And so I hope you can get that going as well. So I want to give a shout out to y'all for sending in your passions, man. I love reading about it and learning what y'all are into. I think it's dope. Like I love to see what people are into. And you know, that's always fun to just learn. Like, oh, you passionate about that? Like I really enjoy people's passions, you know. I'm like, yeah, you really like that, huh? I'll be happy for y'all and shit like that. So I appreciate y'all sharing your passions and whatnot, all that good stuff. And we had a passionate episode on the passions. You know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna say passion one more time just because I said passion a lot. You know what I'm saying? What are you passionate about? And I want y'all to chime in. When you listen to this podcast, when you're checking out the episode, put your passions in the comment section. Let's share. Let's build. We can find, you know, common ground. We can meet and network. This episode could actually create a community of similar passions. And you'd be like, you into that too? Yo, there's a dope spot over here. There's, you know, you can recommend certain places, certain classes, certain things to other people. And then boom, we got a community going. And I love that for us. And I love y'all for tuning in and sharing your passions with me. And, you know, we didn't do no heavy trending topic episode because I ain't want to talk about that stuff. I wanted to talk about what you was passionate about, and I wanted to talk about what I was passionate about and still am, man. These movies, man, and food. I'm passionate about food. You know what I'm saying? Shan, she's into bird watching, and I love that. You know what I'm saying? And the only reason I call her a nerd is because she do it to us, so I just fire back. But I don't think it's nerdy at all. I love the fact that she's into bird watching. Like, I like it when people are into stuff. Because I feel like the nerd term is weaponized sometimes. Man, y'all some nerds. You'd be like, man, look out, man. We just into stuff. Because nerds are into stuff. Be into something, man. Nerd out on stuff, man. Get it in. That's interesting. The non-nerds are boring, man. They ain't talking about that. They ain't passionate about a damn thing. So let's get it, man. Find your interests. Talk about them. Nerd out. Anyway, man, shout out to my patron saints, man. I appreciate y'all. And thank you for tuning in to another session of that verbal cardio.